Like, can you believe this kid did? Yes. Like, why would you be surprised they came from us? What, are you kidding me? When somebody walks up and says, boy, they did a good job in this, I'm like, yeah, praise the Lord. They tell me, oh, they did this. Yeah, I don't doubt it. Oh, that's funny. Are we ready? Okay. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 19. And I threatened that I was going to preach on children here and directly to children. And obviously it's to all of us, but I said that we were going to do that. And I want to talk to you a little bit about children today and directly to children. So I titled this message to get your attention very, very clearly. Children, don't be fools. Who will you follow? And I mean this to be very pointed to each and every child here. I mean it to be very pointed for all of us to take the responsibility as a church family for each other. You know, to encourage our children here and to be the examples that our children need us to be and the Lord would have us to be, first of all, and that our children need us to be. But also, directly to children. Some of you children are at a very pivotal time in your life. Some of you young men. You're getting ready to, you're going to work, you're working. Some of you are working already. You're getting out a little bit into the world as far as work goes, and you have to live this Christian life, and you have to learn to live this Christian life under these circumstances. Because your world is about ready to change, some of you. And as you hear this message or you listen to it again, you know, years down the road, it'll apply to you others that come up along. And things are going to change for you. And I believe it's your parents' responsibility, but I also believe it's my responsibility as a pastor. Because I don't just pastor your parents, I pastor you. I'm your pastor too, right? So you need that guidance and direction from the Lord and from the Scriptures. Not to be a fool. And really to answer the question, who will you follow? Now, you might be 50 years old here and newly saved, or you've only been saved for a few years, or maybe 30 years old or 40, doesn't matter how old you are. But you may be at that point to where, you know, you've learned a lot of bad things. And I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier to learn good things right the first time than have to retrain yourself after all the bad things that you have learned. So, you know, that's for all of us. You ask anybody Brother Scott's profession or Brother Paul's profession, if somebody's learned something the wrong way, man, it can be dangerous because you got to teach them the right way. It's like, no, you're wrong. You can't do this like this. This is dangerous, right? Any of you can name a number of different things where you're like, no, you have to listen to me because if you don't, something bad's going to happen. And they've learned it the wrong way, and it's very difficult. So I would like you as children to learn things the right way. That things that we have failed at as parents, that we could, or even as Christians, that we have failed at, that we could say, you know what, we didn't do this right, or we were lost and we didn't know. But you know what? We want you to learn it the right way. We want you to do things the right way. Because we don't want you to use what we've failed at to be an excuse for you not to do right. We want to fully inform you of what God expects from you. Amen. And how to get through and learn and to grow and to be successful Christians. You know, I don't even, I'm here to tell you, I don't care if you make a lot of money in your life at all. I really don't care about that. I don't in that sense. I want you to be profitable and to be hard workers and everything like that. But if you never made a lot of money in your life, but you love the Lord and you raised your family right and you grew up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, your parents are not going to be like, man, I wish my son made more money. You know what they're going to say? Praise the Lord that my son follows Christ or my daughter follows Christ. I don't care what kind of money they made in that sense. If they worked hard and they did right and they love the Lord, then I can die a happy old man knowing that my family is serving the Lord. That's what matters the most, right? That's all. That I guarantee you, if you sat down with your parents, yes, they want you to be successful in whatever you do in that sense to be, but more importantly, the filter for that is Christ. They want you to do everything in Christ. And then after that, if that means that the Lord... bless you with great finances, but in all those things, whether abased or abound, you love the Lord, that's enough for us. If you follow the Lord, that's enough for us. You can't imagine the joy that you'll bring to your parents' hearts for that very purpose. And make that your aim today, that you would glorify God with your life. Make it your aim today. The youngest child here, make it your aim today that you would follow the Lord. And that is success right there. Proverbs 23:19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not. There's only one truth. You understand that? It's this book right here. This book is the one truth. This book is what proves everything else a lie in the world. This book. The teachings from the King James Bible, from the Word of God. And I'm making it very clear to you children. I'm not talking about a Textus Receptus. I'm not talking about something in another language. I'm telling you this English Bible right here. This is what I'm talking about. I'm directing you to this is absolute authority and nothing else. Absolute truth. I can't make it any clearer to you. I don't. If anybody would ever ask you, what is Pastor Cooley? Where does he lie? What position does he hold? That this book is absolutely perfect and it should decide everything in your life. And I believe it with everything in my soul. My never dying soul is staked on the infallibility of this book. That's what I tie it to. Because if this ain't true, nothing is. There you go. So you understand. You won't have to wonder when somebody says, well, a better way to explain this is this. A better word for this is this. No, there is no better word. This is the word. Everything stands or falls according to this book. Otherwise, if it don't match this book, if it don't agree with this book, then you chuck it out and you throw it away and you get rid of it. That's how you live your life. That's what I mean. If there is no absolute standard of truth in your life right now that you hold to, you are going to end up believing evolution. You're going to end up accepting every stupid thing this world has to offer you. Amen. You'll fall for any of it. Because you'll look for ways around this book. I don't look for any ways around it. It is the way. Jesus said it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Absolute truth. It's important to understand. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord. Guide our steps. Melt our hearts. Help us to be in compliance. Help us to be movable and moldable in your word alone and nothing else. Help everything, every attack from the devil and every false ideology that is out there to fall by the wayside. And let Jesus Christ be praised in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we have these verses, and I titled this, Children, Don't Be Fools, Who Will You Follow? I'm going to start a series. This is the first one in a series in dealing with raising children and understanding children, understanding their lives, or children to understand what God expects from them. And you, as young men that you are growing up, and young ladies, you are growing up, I'm going to be very pointed towards you. I'm going to gear this very specifically towards you and your parents, and we will all be rebuked and reproved and taught by it, because we're going to see what God expects from us, and that's going to affect us, amen? That's how it does. But we are told here, I want you to notice something. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Hear, listen, and be wise. The young man that will listen more than he talks will be wise. All of us in that sense, but a young man especially, that they listen. more than they speak. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Look what he says here. And guide thine heart in the way. We are to have respect and reverence to the Lord that is due to his holy name. We are told above all things to be guided by the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. It is the beginning. If you don't fear God, you're a fool. Right now in your life, in our lives, if we don't fear God, we're fools. I don't care how religious you are, whatever you've done in your life. If you and I don't fear God and tremble at his word, we're fools. You got people in churches today that want to correct God's word. You think they fear and tremble at God's word? They don't fear and tremble at God's word. They're not afraid. That's a scary thing. Because the absolute perfect standard of truth, and they don't fear it. You ought to fear it. Amen. Again, such warnings are given multiple times in the scriptures. Hear and be wise, young people, concerning our hearts. Do you know what the scripture says here? It says that you are to guide your heart. You are not to be guided by your heart. Do you understand the difference? One is proactive. One is not given over to my passions and desires and lusts. But one says, guide your heart. But I feel like I want this and I feel this and I feel that. It doesn't matter what you feel. In that sense, you are to guide your heart, not obey and follow your heart. You are instructed. He's instructing this young man to guide his heart in the way. Why? So you're not given to every wind of doctrine. So you're not given over to every passion and lust and desire and your wants that you have in your heart. You don't fall for your heart. Don't fall for your desires. But you have to be manly and you have to guide your heart in the right way. You have to be aggressive towards your heart in that sense. You can't just let it guide you and be guided by your emotions. So many people today follow emotional decisions. Their decisions are based on their emotions. They are not based on truth. They're based on how they feel. We see many children today that are being raised to be fools. They're literally being raised to be fools. I want to show you, I want to read you something. Hopefully I can get it in here. Let's see. I want to give you an example of a child left to himself bringing his mother to shame. A 13-year-old girl dies from chroming. Latest alarming social media trend, it says. The family of a 13-year-old Australian girl who died from chroming has urged action to prevent similar deaths from occurring. We want to help other children not fall into a silly trap of doing the silly thing. It's unquestionable this will be our crusade. Maybe it should have been your crusade before that you kept your child offline and have all these people influence your children when they're alone and everything else. It says the ripple effect is absolutely devastating. We got no child to bring home. Ezra Haynes died after she inhaled fumes from from a deodorant can, causing her to go into cardiac arrest. She remained on life support 8 days, at which point doctors determined her brain was damaged beyond repair and her family decided to turn off the machines. Well, that's a whole other story altogether I won't even get into. After 8 days, we'll just shut off the machines, let her die. To me, that shows how much you actually cared about her life in the first place. But anyway, maybe I'm just the mean guy in the room, right? But to me, I was like, I ain't shutting that girl's... I'm not shutting that machine off. I'm giving that girl every chance she can to live. I mean, Brother Paul had a chick with a lame leg and he gave it a chance to live. We just talked about that this morning, right? Amen. Right? You're going to give your own child a chance to live? Think about that for a second. And that could could make you understand why that child was in the place that it was. I'm not claiming perfection. None of us do. It was just a regular routine, she said, of going to hang out with her mates. Andrea Haynes, the girl's mother, told the Australian news program, "They're asking us to bring our family, our friends, to say goodbye to our 13-year-old daughter. It was very, very difficult." Well, a child left himself bring his mother to shame. You know what? You don't leave a bunch of children off by themselves, doing things by themselves like that. Young children just doing whatever they want. You don't do that. Why? Because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. No one has to teach us to be a fool. It's in our hearts. We're really good at it. And when you're a child, you're super good at it. Right? I know. I was one. Amen. So here's the point. I'm not going to read any more of that article, but the point is, do you see the example of that? Here's someone that followed her friends and some trends. What I want you to have are bedrock principles that you follow in life. From the Word of God. So you're not swayed by silliness and ridiculous nonsense that gets thrown at you, but you stand firm and you say, no, that would be foolish. That's what I want you to have. The government indoctrination system tells them that they should follow their hearts and be whatever they want to be. No, you should be what God wants you to be. Because your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's like a Disney gospel. Tells people to follow their hearts. What does God teach us to follow? His word and the instructions that are given to us in the Word of God. Also, the most important lessons we see here is not our hearts to follow, our emotions and the seat of all our affections leading us, but us leading our hearts. See, anytime you and I get into trouble is when we don't follow sound biblical instruction and reading found in the scriptures, and we kind of follow our hearts and our passions, be it the passion of anger, lust, be it the passion of hastiness. We get impatient and hasty to get something, so we go out and do it against good principles, and it costs us. We've all been there. Every single one of us has failed in that way at some time. Men get into trouble when biblical reasoning and understanding is not used, but what is followed is our heart. And that means your passions and emotions, the seat of all your affections. Again, most bad decisions are decisions that are based on our emotions. They're based on our affections. They're not based on affections. They're not based on good, sound reasoning scripturally. They're not based on faith. They're based on foolishness. This will lead us to sin. When passions take control of us, then we'll be given over to all manner of evil and wickedness. We must not let passion, emotions, take control. But we must let power and love and a sound mind lead us. Children must be taught at a young age to control their passions and desires. And we as parents must put a governor on such passions and desires that our children have by teaching them not to follow their heart, but to follow guided and set principles from the Word of God. We're teaching that. We have to, by our own example and also by instruction. We have to. Number two, children must learn to follow the Scriptures. That's the first one. That's the authority. They must learn to follow the Scriptures. You must, every time you teach your children something, when it comes to them failing or being wrong, you must show them from the Word of God why they are wrong. That's real biblical instruction, is to teach them from the words of God. It means that we can't be lazy parents. And a lot of times we are. We just want to get through something really fast and move on to our busy schedule. We don't want to take the time to instruct and correct, to rebuke properly and instruct and correct, but we want to move past it and through it real quick and get it over with. That's not right. If you ever wonder why your correction or your instruction or your discipline is not working, or it doesn't seem to be working, I should say, it will work God's way always. But here's the thing. If you seem at times that it's not working, One of the reasons might be that you're not following through the way you should. If it's whap, 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 but it's no instruction and correction, it's no time to deal with it, if it's no trying to reach the heart of the matter, then you will butt your head against a wall because you're not using the Word of God to correct them. You think that using a portion of the instructions that God gives you is enough. As parents, it's not enough for us to do that. We have to follow God's complete way. We have to follow through completely. We have to be patient. Because I'll tell you, sometimes instruction and sitting down and getting to the heart of the matter will go farther than the rod does in that sense. It's the other rod that you use. There's two of them. This is the ultimate rod of correction that reaches the heart. Nothing works like the Word of God. Nothing changes hearts like this. Nothing can. Nothing has the power to, besides this book. Amen? So remember that. Children must learn to follow the Scriptures. Anytime you and I have ever gotten into trouble, generally it's because we followed our passions or our heart and not led our heart by a firm set of principles found in the Scriptures. Number one, children, if you would not give in to your heart, then follow, set now, a firm set of principles in your life found in the Scriptures. That those principles, you in any circumstance, in any situation, you are not going to violate. And you young men, I'm talking to you, you're out there working right now and getting ready to work. You are bombarded by the world. And you're going to be. If you don't take with you a firm set of principles that you are not willing to compromise for money, for friends, for popularity, for anything, you are going to fall if they're not set in stone. You got to have them set in your heart, written on your heart, a firm set of principles from the Scriptures that you are not willing to compromise for anything, because you'll be asked to. You're going to be challenged. The world is always going to ask you to give in. Always. Children must be taught early to follow the Lord and by the power of the Holy Ghost to get control over their own spirit. That means their heart. To guide their heart by a firm set of principles. You're going to hear me say that over and over again. Yes, I am drilling that into your head because and your heart, hopefully, Lord willing, that God, the Holy Ghost, reaches right into your heart with it. And writes it on the table of your heart. To guide your heart by a firm set of principles found in the Word of God and not to be tossed to and fro. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." We have to learn, and our children have to learn, to guide their hearts by a firm set of principles so they're not taken by their spirit. They're not taken by their passions. By the way, let me tell you something, whether it's you wanting to be married or anything else in your life, if you can't get rule over your own spirit as a father, as a husband, as a wife, if you can't get firm control over your own spirit by the Holy Spirit and can't get that, and you can't rule your own spirit well, you're not going to rule anybody else's either. You're not going to be able to rule well your own house in that sense. We have to get control of our passions, our angers. When you see those things rise up in your children, you have to deal with that anger. You have to deal with that rebellion. You have to deal with that. You have to get to the heart of the matter of those things. You can't overlook those things because the only difference in overlooking that is you see that little baby right there that's probably, I don't know, 15 pounds maybe. I don't know how much he weighs. Am I close? Am I close, Aaron? Probably close. Okay. So anyway, something like that. You see that the only difference in that and that is age, right? He's 18. Peter's 18. If you don't get control over the anger of a child at young ages, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, could you imagine him being 6'5 and being mad like that? By the way, yes, you can. Open up the prison and look. look at mass murders and look at people that are angry and people that don't ever get rule over their own spirit. And many of them are because they never had a father and mother tell them no. No one ever instructed them and told them no. They let them go. When they got a little bit of resistance from their children, they let them go. Right. Or beat them and turned them that way, made them bitter and angry and hateful. Right? Ruling our own hearts, again, by a firm set of principles found in the Scriptures will guide us in life and take us from the evil and help us to avoid many snares and temptations along the way that will take us. In our text verses, Solomon is warning about drinking alcohol, right? Booze, and hanging out with the wrong people that will lead us to sin. But it's not the people that is the problem. It's getting rule over our own spirit, guided by those firm set of principles found in the Scriptures that will help us to avoid the snares and temptations that come our way. You are, when you get out in the world, young men, you are going to be surrounded by evil people. They are going to be there, and they are going to try to influence you. It's you that must have those principles that you are not willing to budge from the Scriptures. That will help you. James chapter 1, verse number 13 through 15. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. When you are tempted, you are to speak the word of God to your own hearts. Proverbs 4:4 says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 70, or not Proverbs, I think that's Psalm 70, 77, sorry. Psalm 77. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart and my spirit made diligent search. He that trusteth, this is verse, the next verse. He that trusteth his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. If you trust your own heart, the Bible says you're a fool. That's why I'm not guided by my heart. I need to be guided by the Word of God, not my own heart. My heart is desperately wicked. I could be easily deceived by my heart. That's why I have to follow the guided principles in the Scriptures. A fool, if he walks, or a man, if he walks wisely by taking heed of the word of God and following the principles for living that are laid down in the Scriptures, he won't find himself. You young people will find yourself in this world with a good, strong defense against evil and an offense against it as well. But if a fool trusts in his own heart, he will follow the whims of his own heart. He will not follow the Lord, but the direction of his own heart, meaning not the plain path of duty. Not the leading of the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures. To his own detriment, he will follow his heart. And we must teach our children the opposite. The opposite of the Disney gospel. The philosophy of whatever your heart wants. That'll get you in trouble. Your heart will want a lot of bad things. Right? I have to follow what the Scriptures say, not my own heart. By the way, because you young men, you're getting ready to have all sorts of temptations thrown at you. Some of you do have them thrown at you constantly, right? Temptations to compromise, temptations to sin, temptations to commit evil. They're constantly, you're bombarded with it everywhere you go. So you don't follow your heart. Why? Because sometimes your heart's going to want what's evil. You know, your flesh doesn't ever really want what's right. That's why you need the Holy Spirit to guide you. Because your heart is deceitful. See, you just have to determine in your heart. I'm going to ask you this question. I'm not asking you to answer it for me right now. I want you to think about it. Do you believe in your hearts right now? Do you believe this book is the absolute truth of God? It's a good question to ask you young people. Is it the absolute truth? 100% infallible and perfect. And is it the truth? Is everything that is here, that God has for us here, do you believe that this should judge everything in your life? Because if you do, you will be tested by it. You are going to be tested on whether you believe that or not. We are tested every day on whether we believe it or not. That's right. Don't follow your heart. Follow the Lord. Only a fool follows his heart. When you follow your temper, your anger, your passions, your desires, your wants, you are following your heart. You are to guide your heart. You are to instruct your heart with the Word of God. When you started out by, I feel, stop. It's not about what you feel. It's about what the Scriptures say. Right? It's about the Word of God. It isn't about how we feel. It's thus saith the Lord. Because I'll tell you what, if you asked half of us, do we really want to get up in the morning and do anything? No. I might be the only one that says that's me, you know, but sometimes I don't feel like doing anything either, Brother Paul. I don't feel like doing what I'm supposed to do. What's that got to do with it? Nothing. Just shows a broken heart. Just shows a depraved heart. That's all. Because my depraved heart doesn't want to do what God wants me to do. It wants to sit around and lounge like David did when kings go out to battle and sit around, right? Isn't that true? Come on, I ain't going to lie to you. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. You think we always want to get up and do right? No, you got to walk in the Spirit to do right. We have to deny the flesh and say, it doesn't matter if I want to do it. I'm commanded to do it. And I believe this book is absolute truth. It is the absolute truth. And if God told me this, and these are the principles in Scripture, then I'm going to follow it and not my heart. So that's why all you men get up and go to work and do the things that you're supposed to. And you ladies get up and you be wives and mothers. That's why. It ain't because you think, by the way, I got a newsflash for you. You think your mamas always feel good? You think they always feel good? You think that when they get up and they got babies to take care of and they got everything to do, you think they feel good? I mean, most of us as husbands don't really think about how our wives probably feel half the time. You think they feel good? No, there's sometimes they feel horrible. They don't feel like doing it. This is going to be like a 3-week message. I haven't even started yet. Do you think they feel good? No. A lot of times they don't. But what do? Get up and do what they're supposed to do. Follow the Lord. Do right. Live for God. Be a good example. Right? Try to raise their children for the Lord. Take care of their husbands. Right? Amen. That's reality right there. That's what that is. I won't put it like a polished fundamentalist and act like everything's all good and hoorah, 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 and have a big camp meeting, everybody, let's all yell and scream, tell you man, hallelujah, and all that. I just don't do that. That's not my game. I don't do that. Look, I believe some of those people are sincere. I'm not being mean, okay? I'm just telling you. I'm not gonna hype it. I'm gonna go for the punch. Go for the throat punch. Just tell the truth about it. Right? So we don't all walk around and think, like, well, we got our suit and tie on, we got our nice clothes on, and we got nothing wrong with us. Yeah, right. Hardly. It's reality, isn't it? But if you follow your own heart, it'll land you in hell or in the grave real early. If you're lost, it'll land you in hell. If you're saved, you might hit the grave early. God still kills people. I don't know if you're aware of that. You believe that, don't you? Man, I do. He still takes his own home if they're no good to him here. I believe that. That's in the Scriptures. I can show you that. Plain as day. There is a sin unto death. I do not say you should pray for it. Right? It's there. So we have to teach our children not to follow their passions, but follow the scriptures. Putting that into practice is most challenging, isn't it? But with God's grace to make us sensitive to it, we certainly are able to do it. If we teach children at a young age to do that, they will grow with the principles that no one taught us. You know, no one taught us those principles. No one taught us, a lot of us, no one taught us that. Great. So I have a question for you. How many of us want to use that as an absolute excuse so we can act like a bunch of deadheads that never do anything for God, make excuses for nobody teaching us, and suck our thumbs and pout about it? Or we could press forward and we could teach our children. And by the way, if you don't have any children, you can invest in those children and say, you know what, by God's grace, I'm going to teach you the right way. How about we do that instead of suck our thumbs and feel sorry for ourselves? What good's that going to do? It ain't going to do nothing for you. Get up and do something for somebody else. Help the next generation. Be a part of the solution there and help them to do it right. So you can, you know what, you can die as an old man and say, you know what, I helped influence their lives. Those children, their families are doing good and God used us to help them. That's what it's about. That's what you ought to be doing. Not sitting there worrying about what happened behind you. Who cares? You can't do anything about it. What you can do is influence the future. What you can is do something about the future. Do something for those children. Be a good example for them. Not sitting there worrying about what happened in the past. That's a waste of time. And that's one of the greatest sins about that, is that you would waste time focusing on that. God forbid that you should do that instead of putting forth every... Paul said in the scriptures that was the one thing that he did, putting those things behind, which were behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are ahead. He said, I can't worry about that. I got to move forward. It was like a push for him from behind, that it just pressed him forward. He said, you know what? I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You and I were raised in many ways with great deficits. When I reflect on it, it reminds me of like the good king with Hilkiah the priest in 2 Kings 22, verse number 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and hath delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, but have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. What happened? Man, he heard these things for the first time. You know how many people have contacted me and told me, Brother Ross Duncan, man, I've been saved for a long time. Never heard any of this stuff on the family before ever in my life. Never had a preacher talk about those things specifically, deal with the role of the sexes, deal with what a husband and wife is supposed to do, never had anybody tell me those things. Been saved for 20-some years, 25 years. It's like you found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. You're like, man, I never knew that. Just make sure you have the right spirit about that. That you don't become depressed by that, but you use it as motivation to do the right thing. Because that's why God told you. Not for you to sit there and feel sorry for yourself. He told you so you invest in the next generation. You weren't given this knowledge to puff you up so you feel real good about yourself. You were given it to help others. So do it. Amen. Good right there, ain't it? You see, you kids thought you were the only ones that are going to get it today, didn't you? Whatever it is, be it our finances, be it our personal care, our friendship with others, and other principles of our character, our temper, our emotions. Because the heart is the seat of all affections and emotions. If it is never under restraint or control, then it will utterly take us. David instructed his own heart so that his passions did not take him and destroy him or sink him to depression and discouragement. That's why he said, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your own bed. On your bed and be still. But I'll tell you this, you that are here today that are not saved, you're like a ticking time bomb ready to explode. you must be born again to ultimately have any power over temptation of the flesh, because Jesus died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried and He rose again from the dead, that sin might not have dominion over you. And the question I have for you is, have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you experienced the power of God in your life? Have you been born again by the Spirit of God, sealed with the Holy Ghost under the day of redemption? Because His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He shows us very plainly in the Scriptures, and this Word takes root in our hearts. By the way, that's why you grow in the Lord, you that are saved, because the Spirit of God bears witness deep down into our hearts, and that seed is grown. And no, you and I are not perfect. We will be someday. Amen? And you may be here and saved, but you must understand temptation will come. And being saved does not mean that you will never sin. I wish it did mean that. Now, our soul, right? That we are sealed under the day of redemption. There's a part of us that never sins. Amen. The new man is protected, is kept by the Holy Ghost. But our flesh dwelleth no good thing. We have a battle. Solomon is teaching us that a just man, or David was teaching us that a just man that falls will rise again by the power of the Lord. Solomon is teaching us here that we must follow the Lord and His word to avoid the snares of bad friends and relationships. By the way, we're going to talk about that in the weeks to come too, children, about your friends, the friends you make in the world, and how God has instructed us how to choose friends. And how to have them in the book of Proverbs, He's instructed us on how to have them. And we're going to give you some instruction to help you understand what it means to be a good friend and what it means to find a good friend and what and how that good friend is defined. How what a good friend is found in the Scriptures. It's important. It's important to understand that. Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way," in verse number 9, "by taking heed thereto according to thy word." In verse 9, he said, "With my whole heart," or verse 10, "with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." That ought to be your prayer. With my whole heart. Young man, let me ask you, with your whole heart have you sought him? Oh, let me not wander from thy commands. Commandments. Verse number 11, he continues, he says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." The next verse, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Do you have that firm set of principles that you are ready to go into life with, young man, young woman, young lady? Do you have that? Are you firmly set on the word of God as your authority, or is it how you feel, what you want, your passions, your desires, your heart, and all of those things? It'll be a constant battle. It is a war. Some of you young men will soon have very terrible influences around you at work in the world. And they will attempt to teach you very terrible things and attempt to subtly sway you into worldliness and sin. And you must follow the word of God and fear the Lord all the day long. God's word has the answer as to whether you should do something or not do something. If you have your principles set from the Scriptures, and you know beyond this is bad, and that this beyond this is bad or that is bad. No, it's a firm set of principles. Some people, well, is this wrong or is that wrong? Or is this wrong or is that wrong? How about, are you obeying the Spirit and the principle of God's commands? Because you and I can make excuses all the day long to sin. It's very easy to do. and to make compromises. What I'm saying is God for what you're going to do? That's what you want to ask. Especially as a young man or a young lady walking in this world, the question you want to ask yourself is not, can I get away with this? Can I walk the line? Can I walk the line closely with my dress, with my walk, with my talk, with modesty or immodesty, with what I do? Can I walk a fine line between that? No. Is God for what I'm doing? Ouch. Is God for what I'm doing? Boy, that'll make a lot of decisions easy, won't it? A newly saved lady messaged me this week, emailed me and asked me some questions. She's been through a lot of stuff, this poor lady. Been through cults and all kinds of other things. Newly saved, trying to live for God, barely making it. Spiritually, she's doing pretty good, but barely making it financially and everything. Just trying to learn and grow. And she asked me, and she's in a church, but she asked me, she said, I have to make a really fast decision. If I take this job, it'll pay me a lot more money. But I'm going to miss a lot of church. And I need the money and all these other things. And I said, well, my fast answer to you is no, don't take it. And trust the Lord. And keep looking. Because if it's going to take you out of the will of God, where you're just growing as a young Christian, you're just learning, and you're trying to get your life steady, and you're trying to get stable, then you shouldn't do it. Because it could lead you away from the Lord completely. So I told her, no, don't do it. Don't do it. She listened. God will take care of her. You believe that, don't you? You believe if you give something up for God that God will take care of you, don't you? Amen. I do. I don't just think it. I know it. I've seen it. I've watched God provide. I've watched all the ladies in this church that ever worked come home and take care of their family and their husbands provide for them, and I haven't seen any of them starving. I've seen all of them blessed beyond measure. Haven't you? Right? And I see the blessings in their children's life. I see children that are stable that actually know their mom and dad. Isn't that something? They actually know their mother. Whoa, isn't that a novel idea today? They actually know their mom. By the way, you'd be surprised how many people get really angry with me when I talk about this topic right here. They get really upset with me. Why? Well, because most fundamental Baptists can't have their Christian schools then. Boy, that makes them mad. But I just tell them the truth. You're part of the problem, not the solution. And I preach against Christian schools. I do. I think they're terrible. I went to one. It was horrible. I think almost the public school is not as mean. I mean, Christian schools, it's mean kids in there. Why? Because you see, they're supposed to be home with their mom or having their mom govern them. And by the way, I don't want to get real far into this, but I'll tell you something that I don't do. I'm not going to let the United States government and the public school system tell me how I'm supposed to educate my children. And if I don't follow their mold, then my children are failures because they don't have their mold. Like, I really don't care. I've seen what you monkeys produce, and I don't want anything to do with it. You produce everything that goes in the psychopathic zoo. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want any of my kids to be like, she's like, oh, you got to get this grade, and you got to have this subject, and you got to do this. I really don't care what you say. Like, I watch what you produce. It's scary. So if some of you see me do some things different with my children that standard education and public education teaches, if it offends you, well then plug your nose and turn your eyes, I guess, or because I'm going to do it anyway. I really don't care because I don't believe in their education system. Amen. I think it's a farce. I think it's gotten more people into debt. And more people that don't know how to make money and have no skills to do anything. But the colleges are making a ton of money, and the government's making a ton of money, and other people are just in a whole lot of debt. Anyway, so there's my speech on that. This is why this turns into 3 weeks in one sermon. But anyway, how far along are we, Andrew, here? We about 9 months pregnant with this or what? I don't know how long we're on there. You want to check and just see? I can't tell if I've kept you like an hour and a half or it's just like 10 minutes and it's really not that long. But I'm having fun. I don't know about you, but Anyway. God's word has the answer as to whether you should do something or not. How long? Oh, we'll give it 10 more minutes. And don't follow your heart and passions and lusts and desires, children. They'll lead you away from God. Determine that in this sense, that I'm going to hide the word of God in my heart, and I'm going to surrender to whatever God's word says for my life. See, you young ladies, you're in a rough spot too. Not as much in this church as in others, but you know what? They're teaching young ladies. They're raising them in most independent fundamental Baptist churches. And I use them because they're the only thing left that is a church. The rest of them, they don't even have baptism. They're not even a church anyway. They don't even have the ordinances or anything. So I really don't care what they're doing, to be honest with you, that much, besides proving that they're not really the Lord's churches. But anyway, which I do like to do that. But the point is this, is they're teaching their young ladies to be raised like young men. They're the exact same. And I've always asked them, well, could you show me in the Bible where that's the case? None of them will, because they can't. It's not the case. Because God made male and female, He made them different. And it's a really beautiful thing. Because if I had to sit next to something that looked like me, I would really hate to be married to something like that. I'm just being real with you. Right, Brother Paul? I mean, you agree, right? If you had to look at your old hairy face in the mirror all the time like that, I mean, I'm glad my wife is different. Like, I thank God for that. I thank God that my daughters are different. I thank God for that your daughters are, that they're ladies. And by the way, all of these little feminazis out there in the world today are going to try to downplay you being godly wives and mothers. I'm warning you of something. You are among the most hated in all the world. I want to prepare you for that. That you are among the most hate. You think in this environment, what you have, you're nurtured here. This is a garden enclosed. So we are nurturing you up. But I want to prepare you for the shock. And if any of them do hate you, just send them my sermons. And tell them they can talk to me. And I'll explain to them very plainly and clearly what they are. Because I'm telling you, even your relatives, your family members, most of them hate me anyway, but your family members, even them, they don't, you know why they don't like that? Because they're not doing things right. So when you're not doing things right, the people that want to do right, you don't like them. They're a constant reminder of that. And I'm telling you, like, I really believe this. I believe it so much that God gave me 5 daughters to be like, you're going to have 5 daughters? You're really going to believe this doctrine, preacher. You're going to live it. You're going to pray in every dime you get, preacher. But, amen. But you know something? I do believe it. I do believe that you don't. And I think, by the way, I'm going to say this to you, and you that are able, you young ladies and young men, you young men are to be men, are to be. By the way, I want to say this to you too. Before I forget, and I'll probably forget what I was going to say to you, but let me say this to you. You know, you don't bother me when you talk a little bit too much. I want you to understand that. When you get a little excited and you say things and you talk like men, it doesn't bother me. I want you to understand that. Some other guys might be annoyed by you. I'm not. I like it. Because it shows me that you actually aren't afraid to talk. Because every young man in this world today in America is hated for being a man. They hate them. They don't want them saying nothing. They want to give them, they want to give them puberty blockers. They want to turn them into girls. And the girls, they want to turn, they want to turn them into butch dyke men. That's what they want to do. Just real, raw, uncut, right there. There you go. That's what they want to do. Me, I want to do what the Lord wants us to do, the total opposite. I want to see young men, I want to see them governed and do right and listen. But I don't, when they get a little bold and brassy and they talk, it doesn't bother me. I'm glad because they're the next generation. They're the ones that need, they're gonna rise up someday and be those men. And you young ladies, listen to me. You're here, if you, here's what I would consider. If you have every means for your parents to take care of you until you're married, and you marry a man the right way, and by the way, if you marry a man from this church, that man is going to take care of you. Amen. If he doesn't, we're going to talk. That's just the truth of the matter. Because you were raised to be men, and you were taught to be men, and the men of this church worked, and they took care of you. Amen. Don't you forget it either, and I won't let you forget it. I'll remind you of it. That you had the examples there. You were taught the right way. But they're going to want to tell you that everything that you want to do with that, that there's something inferior. And they're going to try to do what Satan did and talk you to leave the Garden of Eden. Leave the garden enclosed. Get yourself kicked out of the garden enclosed, right? By doing the wrong thing. And doing that, why? Because they don't want you to grow up as ladies. But see, if you ladies all turned into accountants and lawyers and everything else, well, first of all, you wouldn't like me anyway, because none of them did. Well, some accountants do, but most lawyers don't. But if you turned into that and you became career, I would consider it a failure. I would. Why? Because God didn't create you for that. I understand if you have to take care of yourself, something bad happens, whatever. I understand that, okay? God has provision in the scriptures for such things, right? That's not a failure when you have to do what you have to do in that sense. But I mean, if you elect to do those things outside, you are going outside the will of God, outside of what you were taught, outside of the truth to do those things. If you elect to do those things, it's a failure. I would consider it a failure. Why? Because I know that how God made women and what he made them for and what God made men for. So you have to decide in your heart right now, do I want what the world's offering me? Or am I surrendered to the Word of God? As a lady, that I want to be a lady that God wants me to be. It's important that you get that settled in your heart now. To the youngest girl that I'm speaking to, it's important that you get that settled in your heart now. To the oldest lady that I'm speaking to, it's important that you get that settled in your heart. If it's not settled, some of you wives that have gotten saved later in life, maybe a little bit later and that wasn't your example, maybe you struggle with that. Being submissive to your husband. Better get that settled in your heart now. That God's way is the right way, that God's word is the truth. You men to be leaders and to stand up. You young men to settle in your heart now those principles that you have, that they're locked in the scriptures. That those principles are bedrock into you, that you're not moving from them. You better decide that because things are going to be thrown at you to purposely try to get you to leave the plain path of duty. We only got through point one. And that's the Word of God as the foundation. Amen. That's fine. That's the most important one. I don't know when I'll preach the next part of this, whether I'll do it this afternoon or we'll do it next week. But hey, I got a whole series if I get to it. It might just be this sermon might be the whole series here. This is only point one, but that's okay. It's important. I want you to understand these things. God cares about your heart being settled in these matters. That you're surrendered to it. That matters. It'll determine how you respond to everything. We haven't even got to that yet. We'll get to that, Lord willing, the next time we preach on this. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your people. We love them, Lord. I love them. I know you love them. Lord, thank you for these young people. I love them very dearly. Their parents love them very dearly. Lord, help their hearts to be surrendered to the Word of God, to the will of God. Help us all to settle those things in our hearts now. Help these young men to have these principles settled in their hearts, that the Word of God is right no matter what, that it's to be obeyed no matter what. And Father, help us all to edify one another. If there be lost here, Lord, please bring Holy Ghost reproof and rebuke to their hearts and lives today and convict them of their lost condition and show them they must be born again. May they come in repentance and faith and be saved. Strengthen your people, Lord. Thank you so much for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And Lord, we ask that you bless all of the food and the fellowship and the time we have together. Give us safety, Lord. Give us edifying minds and hearts and mouths that we all speak the same thing, that we love one another with a pure heart fervently. And most importantly, that we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.